Well, how are you doing? It's Zach Cassie.
Adam Henry.
Gil Siddle.
Tom Crawford.
Todd Warner.
Brett Romberg.
DJ Laramie.
And Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody? My name is Jake Moore, and welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports podcast featuring interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more. For 5 years strong now, over 220 episodes. Available directly on windcitysports.com or anywhere you get your podcasts, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We'll have a strong social media presence on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at @WindCity_sports. Got a YouTube channel, give us a follow, like, subscribe to whatever apps and social medias you might use. Check out our exclusive videos on YouTube as well. And simply search up the Wind City Sports Podcast and you'll easily be able to find us. Now again, 5 years going strong. But today is Monday, August 2nd, 2020, episode 227 of Wind City Sports. We are back after a little hiatus. I'm not sure exactly when we'll be back again. Just been taking a break, doing some other things in life. And, you know, again, there wasn't a lot to talk about, but we actually have a lot to talk about. Some news we'll get into in a little bit. But again, we don't know exactly if we'll be coming back for a bi-weekly basis. Definitely not a weekly basis at this point. Maybe just occasionally, whenever I feel like it, to be honest. Whenever I got time, whenever something good comes up. And things will be coming up now. As mentioned, we got a lot of news that we can actually talk about here on the Wind City Sports Podcast for seems like the first time in a year and a half. So there wasn't a lot of news lately the last year. So we missed a lot since we've been gone, since the end of May. Was our last episode with golfer David Burney. He actually played a round with Darcy Tucker the other day. Pretty cool stuff. Again, we'll talk about some more news that we have coming up. Lots of news about the Windsor Spitfires, the OHL, the draft, both the CHL and the NHL draft, and a lot of speculation on some coaching changes. The Olympics are going on, obviously. We have a lot to talk about the Olympics, obviously, with Windsor LaSalle's Kylie Moss winning a silver medal last week. I was able to watch that one with my cousin live. I just happened to be watching. But also lots of sports returning and some other cool pieces of news that we could talk about. And of course, we do have a great interview for you on this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast with a returning guest, a former boxer who actually went to the Olympic trials, was slated to win the Olympic trials. And honestly, no offense to our guest, who he knows did fall short in the trials and led him down the path that where he is today. So we've had this individual on the show before. It's former boxer, amateur, great amateur boxer right out of Windsor, now living in Vancouver, BC, is Josh Cameron. As you'll hear in the interview, I actually spent a few days with Josh last month, almost a month ago now. Time's flying by. We're going to have this out a lot sooner. We were going to do the podcast in person. We ended up just having a good time, having some fun, and decided to do it on Zoom. Just two or three days after I had gotten home and spent my last night with him. We actually talk about he put me up in his apartment, showed me around Vancouver, and we had a good night. It's a random, Tuesday night in Vancouver. Never a bad day there. The weather was crazy. And yeah, I went on a trip. First time in over a year and a half, almost 2 years, traveling on a plane. Went to BC, Alberta, seen a lot of places, seen a lot of people, did a lot of things. It's been great. It's great to be back in Wind City, of course, too. The weather here is pretty nice, warm. It's hot out there as well. Now, we got a lot to talk about. A couple things we'll get out of the way before we get into our interview, I guess. Again, we're going to do a lot of Spitfires news, which basically the full schedule has been released back in full swing this year. Not sure if the OHL has announced the capacity or anything like that officially, or tickets and whatnot. They are advertising tickets and the full schedule. The season tickets and even a preseason game schedule as well. At this point in stage three, they are allowed to, what I remember reading the other day, so they are allowed to run events with 50% capacity or 1,000 people, whichever would be fewer. So I guess they'll probably have a max of 1,000 people starting in September if we get it there. The Spits kick off preseason action with the annual home and home games with Sarnia. First game at the WFCU on Sunday afternoon, September 19th, preseason game, and the regular season kicking off for the Spits at home, again at the WFCU Center, again against Sarnia as well, on Thursday, October 7th. So Thursday night games are back, starting October 7th. We had some players drafted to the NHL. We got some guys drafted to the Spitz in signings, and we'll talk about that as well. But hey, let's get this out of the way. Letowski to Montreal. Trevor Letowski, new head coach, will be coming into the Spitfires. But Letowski has joined the Montreal Canadiens as an assistant coach. Said it was a bit of a surprise to him and will be hard to leave Windsor. You can hear him talk about his love for Windsor and the game, of course, on the first episode of 2020 for Wind City Sports. It's episode 177. But now that opens up a lot of speculation of, you know, who the new coach will be. We have a few in the mix, you know, people talking, and there's a lot of talent out there from anywhere that can be pulled in, the connections with the Spitfires, of course, and locals. But speaking of which, Eric Wellwood makes a lot of sense. Best fit, probably. Great ties to the city and the team. The guy who lives in Windsor. He did just resign as the head coach of the Flint Firebirds over in Michigan. A lot of people were speculating that he would maybe join DJ Smith in Ottawa, which still could be a possibility, but now with this opportunity open as well, the head coach in his hometown and the team that he played for, I mean, he has done it. He's been an assistant coach with the Generals and I think somewhere else, and then head coach with Flint for a while, so he's got the experience. He would fit well, but most people are saying what makes even more sense is Jared Smith, but will they do it is my question. He's been the assistant coach for years, homegrown guy within the league. And even if he moves up, the Spitz will need a new assistant coach. So we are going to get one new coach on the bench this year for sure, at least one. Some people even speculating Todd Warner. I think if Smith goes up to head coach, then Warner could slide right into the assistant coaching role. Pretty much his experience with the Lancers as an assistant coach, that's kind of what he's got. Of course, he's got other minor experience coaching, but he's never, as far as I know, been a head coach on a junior team like that. That being said, another guy that could slide in as head coach of the Lancers for many years, Kevin Hamlin, could be a great addition. Former OHLer himself, of course, and that could bring in Warner as an assistant. And have Jared and whoever else is the assistants. Now I'm blanking on who the other assistant. Oh, it was Mike Weber. That's who it was. So Mike Weber was the other assistant coach last two or three years, and I don't think he'll come back. He just went to the Rochester Americans in the AHL team that he used to play for as an assistant coach. So moving up the ranks. So I doubt that he'll come back unless he wants to do that head coach full-time gig to get that experience. But as mentioned, Kylie Moss, we'll move into Olympics really quick. And then we got lots more to talk about after our interview with Josh Cameron. What was that? Last Monday night, a week ago today, LaSalle's Kylie Moss won a silver medal for Canada in the 100-meter backstroke competition. Huge accomplishment, making the city proud, seeing it everywhere online. I've been watching some Olympics. I happened to just, you know, sit down at my cousin's and start watching some with him, and swimming was on. Just watched Penny Olesiak come in second as well. Then right after that was Kylie Moss, a girl from LaSalle. Very cool to see, and we have a lot of athletes from Windsor in the Olympics right now in Tokyo, and we'll talk about that after our interview with Olympic trials runner for boxing, Josh Cameron. He's coming back to talk about his new book, his poetry book, which I have right here in my hand. It's called Love Fiercely. He kind of talks about how the book came to be after our interview with him 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we talked to him. We talked, obviously, about growing up in Windsor, his boxing experience at Border City Boxing and Olympic trials and all the connections he's made, and, of course, Windsor Pizza. We got to talk about, and one thing before we, I don't know if it's mentioned in the interview, I don't think so, but I arrived at Josh's apartment and walked in, and I knew I was at the right place because he had a Detroit Tigers hat sitting on the table right away. I knew I was at a Windsor Boys apartment. So thanks again to Josh for that. We're going to roll into that interview with him right now. Former amateur boxer, decorated boxer here in Windsor from Border City Boxing Club. It's Josh Cameron. Here we go. I'm on Zoom right now, talking to a man all the way from beautiful BC. He's been on the show before, former amateur boxer. Many accolades this man has held, and now an author, the author of Love Fiercely, as I have right here in front of me. We're going to talk about the book, we're going to talk about life, and we're going to talk about boxing probably too. Former amateur boxer from BC, Josh Cameron. Welcome back, man. Thanks for joining me, dude.
Great. Always a pleasure talking to you, brother. Yeah. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm excited to talk about my book, and I'm excited to tell everybody how it came about and what I hope it's going to do for other people's lives.
Yeah, not even before we get to that, actually, one thing I forgot to mention. 3 days ago, we were together, as people would have seen on Instagram. Again, thank you for taking care of me, man, and the hospitality and showing me the city a little bit. It's cool to, as we were talking about the whole time we were together, to connect with people around the world, around the country that I've met through this. You know, obviously some people that I've had on the show I've known before, but you get to meet a lot of people, and to meet someone like yourself and to connect in another province halfway across the country, it was pretty cool to do and to help me out in a time when I needed it. So thank you, bro.
No, anytime. And that is the beautiful thing about moving to a different city or moving across the country or even, you know, around the world. It isn't a selfish thing, you know. It's for your family, it's for your friends, it's for your loved ones. It's sharing the experience of travel. It's sharing the experience of living somewhere else, you know.
Yeah, man.
So when my family comes out here, they come and visit me, they go, "Wow, I can, you know, I see why you moved out here." And then I go, "Yeah, of course." Or I see Windsor boys like yourself, and you know, we share the experience and we talk about our experiences in Windsor, how great Windsor is and how great it is to move away. And sometimes it's great to move back or not move back. And it's just, that's what life is all about. It's about sharing the experiences. You know, I highly recommend traveling, living somewhere, even just for a little bit, and then giving back. I don't forget where I come from. I'm going to do these podcasts. I'm going to do other interviews. And I'll always represent my city, even though I'll probably never move back. Right.
Yeah. No, that's cool, man. Cause everywhere I went, like, you know, everyone's like, "What do you want to do? What do you want to do?" I'm like, you know your area better than anyone, so you show me, just like you're saying, right? You get to travel and learn a bit about Vancouver, for example. When family comes down, it's like, okay, I can show you all the good spots and show you why you move there as well, right?
Exactly, sure. Absolutely.
So as most people will know, too, I'm sure if they listen to your first one or not, told your story here on the show before briefly, just about, you know, your career in the sport of boxing as a amateur boxer. You've done a lot in the sport and have used it to do other things. And of course, as we mentioned, you wrote this book recently. It's been quite the success. So pretty simply put, how'd it come to be? What's it all about? Tell me the story behind the book, I suppose.
For sure. So I touched a little bit on mental health the last time we talked. But, you know, since we didn't go too far with that, you know, we focused more on the sport, I felt like now is a good time to open up and talk about the mental health. So basically, the book came about in the last 5 years of me trying to find out who I truly was as a human, you know. I'm no longer Josh the Boxer. It's gone. It went away. And so I was really left in a dark place of identity, right? And I was like, okay, so who am I? There was actually just did a podcast before this podcast, and so called The Pain Point. What was your pain point to get to where you're at, to get this book? And my pain point was two things. It was, number one, why did I not make the Olympics after spending 15 years doing everything it took to get there? And number two, who was Josh after boxing? So as I already talked about in the first podcast, I contemplated suicide. And it was something, you know, especially as, you know, someone who won his entire life, I can't believe these thoughts even came into my head. I was like, why are these thoughts here? Why am I thinking like this? And so I really, really had to dig deep. And the only thing that I had was, you know, you see a therapist, but what a lot of people recommended was writing. So the first thing I did when I moved out of Windsor was I wrote a poem, actually. My worst poem, but it was a poem on kindness, and it was just opening up about what I feel about that. And then after that, I wrote my memoir. I wrote a shorter version. I wrote like a 30-page memoir of my life, and then that was like the first like month that I moved out. And then as I progressed with my writing, as I started learning from other artists and other writers and even actors, I started to get better, and I actually finished my memoir as a full book, and I sent it to an editor, and there's just so much homework I got to do. But then I started writing poetry, and poetry is an art form, you know. It's so expressive, and it's so artistic for me, because it reminds me of music. It's playful, you can have fun with it, you can can be sad with it, you can be angry with it, and you can really express yourself. So I really felt I got to express myself through poetry, not just writing about my memoir. And I also am working on a movie script, a boxing movie script, of course. And so what it did for me was I really got to go to these dark spots of why I felt the way I felt and let it out through poetry. And it took it way back. I went back to the childhood, like any psychologist said, and figured out, you know, why I had these thoughts and why, you know, things might not have worked out. And, you know, so number one was, why did I not make the Olympic team and why did I always fail? And it was ironic because I won like 80% of my fights, 80-90% of my fights. And it wasn't until like the finals. It was like fighting for the gold medal to be on the national team, or was, you know, because I won like 9 Ontario titles. It wasn't until the finals of like the nationals that I always came close. And unfortunately, I had some trauma as a kid. I went through some verbal and physical abuse as a kid, and that's something that I got to overcome with that person, and we're good now. But what it did is it had a psychological effect on me with my self-esteem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so subconsciously, as I was fighting for this gold medal, I had this in my body that I wasn't good enough, and I would subconsciously tell myself, you're not good enough, you don't deserve this, you don't deserve this. And I would lose. I'd lose in the finals. And I didn't realize that until after I was done boxing. So, you know, and even, you know, people in the boxing world, they'd be like, yo, Josh, on paper, you should be like, you know, 5-time whatever national champ. You should be on your way to the Olympics. But you always, you know, you were in your head. Why were you in your head, right? And in order to figure that out, you got to do the therapy. Mm-hmm. You got to go see a therapist, or you got to write, or you got to talk to someone, talk to a friend, or talk to a loved one. And so what I'm getting at here is, especially men, we're not taught to express ourselves. We're not taught to talk about our feelings. And so I did all of that. I did everything that I wasn't taught to do. I did it, and I wrote a book about it. And so now it changed my life, and I'm at a better place than I ever was. And you know, not making the Olympics was the best thing that could have happened. Because I got to find out who I truly was and overcome all these obstacles and these traumas and not hide behind boxing. And I don't want to throw Tiger Woods under the bus, but a lot of times, not just athletes, people that become successful in business or people that have become successful in anything, they hide behind them, right? And that's what I did for 15 years. I hid behind Josh the boxer. I never wanted to go to that other place of finding out who I truly was. And I feel like Tiger Woods kind of always hid behind, you know, Tiger Woods the golfer. And that's why later on in life it all came up, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, the women. He never really wanted to deal with the problems. Mm-hmm. And I feel, you know, not every athlete has problems. I'm just saying some of us do.
Yeah, no, it's a good comparison, right? Because that's like, even like you're talking, like there's tons of athletes that had been in that situation and admit later that they were afraid to admit it, or it's too late, and you're like, how could this person do that to themselves when they have the world at their fingertips? But it alludes to exactly what you're saying, right?
For sure. And I'm no angel. I drank too much. I partied too much. I did all that shit too. And that's another thing that I have to question. Why, right?
Yeah.
And why is the most important question. And so writing helped me get to that point. And so that was, what was that? That was of why I didn't make it to the Olympics. And so my second pain point was, okay, well, who are you now? Who is Josh? You know, I'm not an author. I'm not a boxer. I'm Josh Cameron. And I actually changed my Instagram name to I Am Josh Cameron. Somebody had that, so I had to put one.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking human. This is who I am. I'm expressive. I'm a masculine man, but I can also be sensitive. You know, I can express myself now, and I can talk to people. I can be transparent. I can be open, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know? And so once I came to that point, I actually became more of a man. I became more sure of myself. Once I understood that I am sensitive and I had all these things that were inside of me, and I had these faults and these issues, and so you got to overcome them. And number one is you got to figure of yourself. And in my opinion, I don't think anybody should ever play victim. They should play warrior. And if anything ever happened to you, you turn into a positive. You become a warrior. Don't ever play victim, play warrior. You know, embrace it. You're alive. You're here. You made it to the next day, right? So I truly believe is you're not a victim. You survived it. You're here. You're a warrior. Now, what are you going to do with it? I decided, write a book. Write a book. Get it out there. Even if it was the shittiest book ever, I didn't know. I gave my emotions out. I go, here it is. I'm going to give myself to the world. If it doesn't make it, whatever, I tried my best.
Yeah.
And it turned out great. It was the number one bestseller over, you know, some very prominent poets for 3 days in a row. And then it was top 10 for like 3 weeks. And now it fell off the list in the last week and a half. But we'll be back. We'll be back. Yeah. You know, Windsor Boys will fight back.
Yeah, always, man. Always. It's been out for a little bit too, though, right? Like it's been a little bit. Now. Yeah. And so like that's kind of, you know, the backstory to it all. It's you, you know, it's poetry, like you said, but it's kind of a big piece of you and kind of putting it out there, right? Because of your past experiences and stuff like that. And now putting it forward for other people to embrace it and to maybe relate in a way, you know, like you said, you know, guys don't like to admit that thing. They're taught not to. And now you see a guy writing poetry, a guy who was a boxer. So that was the other thing I was going to say. You're right with all the stuff you said, but not only do you come from sports, you come from boxing where like you have to be fucking tough and you can't, you can't cry and you can't, you know, you got to keep your head up and you got to keep going. So that whole mentality is pretty much all you knew.
Absolutely. Great point. And you do have to be a killer in the ring. You do have to be a killer.
Sure.
You got to be ferocious, but in order to get that, you can't have these issues. And I had issues, right? And I had things that I couldn't, that would how should I say this? I had these issues that would keep me down when I'm fighting. That ain't cool, right? And so as soon as that starts to happen, you got to see a sports psychologist, right? And some of the top athletes that ever come out of Windsor, they all got sports psychologists, right?
Oh, yeah.
So important. That's something, you know, if I recommend to any athlete, you know, you should see a therapist or a sports psychologist, you know, to better your mental game. Because your mental game at the end of the day is number one, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a big aspect of it. And especially coming from here to kind of relate it to like the Windsor boys, the Windsor girls as well, the Windsor athletes. Not a lot of Windsor guys and girls that are pro athletes came from like a rich family, to be honest. You know what I mean? A lot of people came from rags to riches kind of story. So it's hard to balance everything. So you'll need the help, and you don't know that too. Like I said, maybe you're coming from an area where you had to be tough to survive. Now you have an opportunity to make a living that not too many people get to do in the world of sports. But you got to balance everything. You got to balance the physical, emotional, mental aspect of it. So obviously, I mean, I think I know the answer to it, but you would say every athlete needs that kind of help when the time is right, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing I'm going to touch on, I don't know if you like Paul, but
I do and I don't, you know?
I truly believe that we need to do something about mental health. To see a psychologist, to see a therapist, it's ridiculously expensive. And I truly believe OHIP or whatever province you're part of, they should have like 50% or 60% covered by the government to see a therapist for your mental health. Because to me, mental health is the number one thing, you know, that causes everything. Anything you can think about, it's usually mental health at the end of the day. And so in order for someone to get better, I truly believe it needs to be part of our healthcare system in Canada. And we need to do something about that for sure. You know, not everyone can write fucking poetry books. You know, not everyone can write a book, or not everyone can talk to their parents. Not everyone can talk to their friends.
Yeah.
You know, so if they had a professional that they can see for a good, decent price, you know, then they would go. Or, yeah. I mean, it should be free, but I'm just saying, I'm trying to be 50-50 with the government.
Like, yeah, that's the hard part, dude. That's the hard part. But you're right, you know, like, everyone in a sense, in a way, will probably need that. It's still a new thing, you know, that they've been tackling for however long, you know, mental health and bringing it to the forefront and speaking up kind of thing. Right. So, I mean, that's a fantastic idea. And kind of not to get away from that, we'll always bring it back, but, I could tell you're an artistic kind of guy, obviously through your poetry. Your PlayStation, your keyboard, your record player, your music guy. So art, you know, art is poetry. It's the paintings on your walls. It's music. Were you always an artsy kind of kid? Did that kind of... Did that make an effect too?
Until after, but I was always super into music, super into old records, old books. I was always reading books and history books, and I was just so passionate about music, and I would just get lost in listening to music and buying these cool history books and like antiques. And in regards to writing, though, I never got into anything writing wise until after boxing. But I was always an artist. I was always a sensitive kid. Yeah. And I should have took drama, to be honest, but I actually got a poem in my second book, you know, on the lines of, I'm just a sensitive guy who became a fighter, but really should have been, you know, an actor or a musician. Yeah. But guess what? It's never too late. Yeah, I just uploaded a video yesterday about Judge Judy saying, hey, if you didn't make it in your 20s, you can do it in your 30s. You do it in your 30s, you can do it in your 40s. So for my 30s now, my number one is health, physical and mental health, and be an artist. So for the rest of the 30s now, I'm dedicating my life to being an artist. Yeah. From the 30s on now. And that's something that I could do forever, whereas boxing I could never
do. Absolutely, man.
Like, I definitely want to be an artist, and I definitely want to give back. And that's why a big portion of my book is going to underprivileged youth boxers. Book sold is going to go back to the community, go back to nonprofit boxing gyms, and that's my way of giving back. And then hopefully one day, maybe when I'm an old man, I'll start coaching the young guys again. But right now, my life purpose is to be an artist, to give back in whatever way I can, and go from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's always obviously going to be part of your life, and you want to give back, stuff like that. But you have other goals and aspirations and things that you want to accomplish in art and being an artist. And being an artist can be millions of different things. And to bring it, before we go into, you know, what, anything you might have on the agenda or any ideas or anything else, again, going back to like the mental health aspect of it and kind of your story growing up, coming from boxing, coming from a tough area, I guess, tough family. Not only that, you're into the arts kind of stuff, and that can be something that kids look at and kind of make fun of other kids for, you know what I mean? So that's what I was going to say when you're like, I should have taken drama. Maybe you even thought of it at the time, but everyone said, why would you take drama? I'm taking gym class. So you said, fuck, okay, I'll take gym too, right? It's kind of like a stigma kind of thing, but it kind of relates. And then now you've realized your passion for it, and you can't worry about what other people think, right?
Drake, you're bringing up a great point, and that's something that I want to advocate for kids as well. And it's okay to cry, and that's why, you never read my book yet, but one of my first poems is about, I only cried once a year.
I just opened that up. That's funny. I went right to that.
Because, you know, a lot of people cry more than that. But I was taught, number one, I was taught not to. And number two is I kind of was like, you know what, I'll just wait till like I lose or something, because I'm not going to waste my cry. But crying is a release. Crying is a positive thing. It's not a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like if something tragic happens or sad happens, not even tragic, just like a sad movie, it's okay to unbeat. It's part of you wouldn't cry if it wasn't human, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So going back to the kids, absolutely. I'll speak to kids and say, listen, man. Like I fought my whole life. Like when I was like, even before I was a boxer, man, I was getting picked on at school. I was scrapping at home, scrapping with my brother, you know, scrapping on the streets. But like, it doesn't matter. None of that matters unless you're not being your true authentic self. And I'm gonna bring up the LGBTQ as well. And like, if you're gay or bi or trans or any of that stuff, that's cool too, man. Like, use that. Use your adversity. Use whatever is going to drive you to be a successful athlete, to be a better person. You know, use it as – I'm going back to my book, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Use what's bothering you or use whatever is in you to do something productive for yourself, for your community, right? And so it's okay to be sensitive, because – Mike Tyson's the best example. If you want to bring up boxers, it's not just me. Mike Tyson's the most sensitive boxer of all time. That guy cries in every podcast. Man, I gotta cry right now to keep up with him.
Yeah, it's like a competition at this point.
He's crying, he's talking about, you know, life, his pigeons and his issues. And so like, if any athlete wants to see another athlete who's sensitive, look at Mike Tyson. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Don't feel bad. And use it. Use your sensitivity to your advantage. I mean, that's what I did. I wrote a poetry book. And just use it, you know, and don't let anybody ever make you feel worthless or feel bad for having feelings. Have feelings, use it to your advantage. Don't feel bad, It's all life. It's all beautiful, man. Art is beautiful, and, yeah. and that's why they call it martial arts. It's an art.
Thank you.
Boxing.
Thank you.
Art
is making something out of nothing, right?
Correct. And so. That's something that I've always been really good at in entrepreneurship because before I got into the art, I was into entrepreneurship, but I wasn't really good at the sales part. I was okay with, but it was the creative part that I was good at.
Yeah.
I was good at being creative and coming up with unique ideas.
Well, that being said, I mean, there's a lot that goes into publishing a book, creating a book, editing a book, and all that stuff. And to my understanding, you did a lot of that on your own, even though you didn't think you might not be the good like marketing guy. You published this book on your own, right?
Yeah, good point. It definitely brought out the hustle and the entrepreneur in me. I met this girl, Vanessa, who actually published a book before, but not a hardcover, just online. She's like, I can help as much as I can. So I sat by her and we pumped it out within like 2 months. Because my book was already done. My poems were done, but we had to put it into a book format, design it.
Of course.
And it came out exactly how I wanted it. So yeah, talking about that, yeah, so we did that. We put in 2 months hard work. We got like a proof in the book. At first we didn't like it, so we had to bring it back to Amazon. And then we went from there. And we just kept hustling, kept grinding. And now is actually the fun stage because, yeah, I was number one and top 10 for a while. But now it's like, okay, how can I keep up the momentum? And yesterday I just signed a contract with 3 pharmacies in Vancouver. So one will be in North Van with my books, downtown and in Kits. So I'll have all of my books spread out there. I am going to be part of an organization for underprivileged young boys in Vancouver, and there's over 100 of them. And so the organization said, we'll buy a bunch of your books if you can come and talk to the kids and talk to the boys about, you know, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so this is the hustle. I sent my book to media companies around North America. I sent my book to Floyd Mayweather. I sent my book to, I don't think he got it, whoever I could, just to get it out there, because I believe in the book, man. I don't even care about money. I'm sending it away for free. Like, I just want to get it out there.
Yeah.
I want people to say, hey, this boxer guy can express. He can talk about his life and his emotions, and then go back to the hard physical stuff, you know? So going back to what you were saying, I love the hustle. I love the grind. It just inspires me. And hopefully you'll see me soon talking to more kids.
Yeah, man. This is kind of like the beginning of your, you know, art career, quote unquote, as well, right? Like, this is, again, this is kind of getting you up off your feet, this book, into that world. So that's what I mean. It's not all about money, basically. You know, you got to get your name out there, like Win City Sports. You know, you just got to grind, and you got to interview, and you got to write, and you got to do your thing to show what you can do. And that's what you've been doing, not to move away. Well, again, we'll always come back to anything else you want to talk about, but you have other goals, you know, in the form of art and like writing and film. You know, you're kind of alluding to that. Tell me a little bit about it when we were hanging out. But if you want to talk about any of that stuff, because that's the other thing I wanted to actually maybe mention before, is if you're that kind of guy that when you have a goal, do you like to put it out there and tell everybody, or do you like to keep it in your head and not keep it a secret? You know what I mean? Do you want to put it out there so that you can prove people that I've done it? You know, I wanted to write a book and now I got it, kind of thing? Or,
you know, I think it's a yin and yang, because over a year ago when we did this interview, I said, hey, next time we talk, I'm gonna have a book and we'll do the interview, remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's a yin and yang, and for the most part I don't tell people. I'd rather just work and then launch it. But if it's someone close to me or, you know, I'm not a good liar. Like, if someone was waiting to, what do you do? Like, I'm writing a book. You know what I mean? I'm writing a book. And so, like, yeah, it's a yin and yang. For the most part, no. And I keep it between, you know, I go into my introvert world, I go into my art world, and I close off. And, you know, there's times where I don't answer texts or emails or phone calls, and I just get so focused into my art. But, yeah, in regards to other stuff I'm working on the movie script of my life, but it's not – it's only until 2007. It's the 90s to 2007, because that was the most like dramatic, I guess, of my life. In 2007 is when I won the Nationals, and so I broke it down to you know, me as a teenager, as a kid, because I feel like there's not too many boxing movies that talk about the kids, the amateur boxers, you know, trying to make it. And so, you know, there's family, there's drug addiction, there's all kinds of cool, fun stuff that the world needs to hear and talk about. And yeah, I'm part of the film world. I'm consulting with Red Hill Entertainment, a Toronto film company. They're actually the only company in Canada that made 3 films during COVID. And the owner is a former boxing champion himself, and so we know each other. And so obviously he works his ass off.
Yeah.
So I'm boxing movie called El Tigre with him, and I'm gonna help consult on that one. And help out on scripts now, because now I got some clout in the writing world. They'll send me some scripts, and they'll see how they can paint the picture better, how they can make certain things more vivid. And these are just writing techniques you learn. The older you get, and the more you practice. So I guess my goal is just, to keep advocating for mental health, give back to the youth, and just keep pursuing goals, and hopefully get married and have kids.
Yeah, it's going to be the hardest one, dude.
Yeah, it's going to be the hardest one.
But, I think the answer is pretty clear, but has the book really helped you make more connections and move into other things in art? And that's the other thing, like tons of things in that field and just art in general will come up, opportunities for you to do God knows what. But so far in the last month, have people reached out to you, or have you made any connections through the book?
Yeah, I have, for sure. Definitely. Like I said, the pharmacy, people want to hook book the boys club. They want me to start being an advocate for them, giving back to the youth. Cause that was always my goal in life, was to give back to the youth. Like, my coaches did for me, they coached me for free, took me around different places for free, and just wanted to give love and art, boxing as the art. So that's my goal now, is, speak and teach these kids, hey, it's okay. I know what you're going through. I can see it in your eyes. I know what you're going through. Talk to me. Don't talk to me. I'm not a professional, but talk to somebody, get it out, see a therapist, and then get back on the grind, don't feel bad for yourself. We all got shit we got to deal with. Own it. Forgive yourself, forgive that person, and move forward. That's always the goal. And yeah, I met a bunch of people through the book, and I was able to give my book to some B-star celebrities, C-star celebrities, people on TV shows, some movies, and they were impressed by it. Being a fellow artist, they go, "Wow, this is so revealing and deep," and they appreciated it. And actually, some of them want to make their own poetry books now. Some actors or whatnot. And so I was like, hell yeah, anybody do it. Like, let it out. It's fun and it's therapeutic. And it's not about the money. It's about you. It's about showing yourself that you can do it, showing yourself that you can use art to change you and change the world.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of true and through to you too, right? Like, this is your whole goal, is to not only tell your story, but to help other people in the mental health aspect, and men and boys and young kids. And, things seem to be falling in place pretty well. It's never like perfect what you imagine, but like, is this kind of fallen into what you might've thought? Like the pharmacy thing, them picking up the book is obviously, I think, like a mental health kind of aspect, right? Where it's like, this is our literature, this is our book section. And if you need stuff for mental health, it's in there. And then someone might see, this picture of two little boys with boxing gloves on and think, this ain't about mental health, but let's pick it up and see. And then, who knows what happens from there. So basically, seems like things are falling into place, at least a little bit what you wanted, right?
Yeah, for sure. And going back to, the boys and the men, for women too, right? Because there
is, for everyone.
A lot out there too who really just want to express themselves. And actually, a few women reached out to me and they emailed me and they said, thank you so much. There's some things that I wanted to say to my father who passed away years ago. And I never really said it. And so now I'm going to say it, and I'm going to write it out. I'm going to write it out, and I'm going to put it somewhere or not put it somewhere. And a lot of people don't do that. And they just, it builds up and then it comes out in different ways. It comes out in passive aggressive ways. And so, yeah. And another, two women actually. So one woman, it was her dad who passed, and another woman, it was her partner, her fiance, who died on her, and it inspired her to let it out as well.
Yeah.
So again, it's for men and women. I just feel like, men are a little less likely to express. Women are better at it, and that's why women are amazing, and that's why, what was I gonna say? The suicide rates for men is higher, it's a lot higher than women. because we don't express ourselves, we don't say how we're feeling, and we got to start doing that more. I did not expect my book to turn out the way it did. Absolutely not. I'm in a dark place. I'm gonna make this book, and whatever happens. And I was like, best case scenario is a cult classic, only the boys or whatever, like only certain people will pick it up. And everyone picked it up from all different areas and, you know, all over North America. And I'm like, holy shit, like women are liking it. Like 50-year-old women are liking it. They're crying. I'm like, what the hell? My attention was not to make anybody cry. Some people felt great. You know, I actually had a guy yesterday saying, I started reading Haunted by the Love, one of my poems about like a heartbreak. And he's like, I couldn't even finish it. He's like, it brought up like crazy, like, memories that he had from like an ex from like a long, long time ago, because he's married now. So now he's going to go back to that poem, you know, and conquer it, because, you know, you got to get over that past trauma, right? And so, yeah, amazing things, incredible things happened from it that I had no expectations of happening, you know? And so, yeah, if it can keep changing people's lives, inspiring people, that's all I can ask for. And so I'm jumping on it, and I'm going 110% in with it. And
that's cool, man. It must be obviously cool, maybe a little overwhelming to get these messages about you know, how you might have changed people's lives, because this is, it's just kind of about your life, right? And your, what happened with you. So now it's like you put it out there and you're getting people back kind of giving you the stories, and, you know, maybe sharing some stuff with you that can be heavy. So I mean, if I get a message saying someone saying, oh, good interview, I'm like, oh, fuck, thanks. You know, so for someone to kind of open up to you, it must be pretty huge to you.
Yeah, it is. It's very humbling for sure. It just shows what's going on in the world. And that's why I called the book Love Fiercely, because at the end of the day, we're all going through something that no one knows. And so you better love yourself, and you better love others, and just be kind and loving, because at the end of the day, we're all just human. We're all equally human, equally human. Yeah. So yeah, man, show love, just be loving. And I got a few poems in there that talks about, you know, overcoming, you know, being betrayed or whatever. And you can still love from a distance. You don't have to always be nice and loving to everybody, right? You should be nice and loving to everybody, but there'll be a time when you'll have to walk away. But you can do it with love, you know? You know, hope that they eat at their dinner table, they just won't be able to eat at yours, right?
I get it. Yeah, for sure. People need to hear that, too. I was going to say before, you know, words are powerful, you know, just in the conversation, and just a thing to slip in there. And, of course, they're short, like you said before, they're short, but they're powerful, and that it shows the power of literature and words and what you're able to do through it. Small things go a long way, you know, what people say, and it's pretty true looking at what you've been able to accomplish through this, frankly, fairly small book, you know?
Super small book, what, 35, 36 poems? That's another thing that I didn't mention. Historically speaking, a poet's first book is called a chap book, and it's 20 to 30 of their best poems in a smaller book to get it out there, to show the world who this new poet is. These are their poems. And so so this is technically my chap book, and my next poetry book will be a full featured poetry book, which will be 40-50 plus.
Okay, so just a full feature book is just a certain length, I suppose, or?
Yeah, this is still technically a feature book because it's more than 30.
Yeah, but it's your first one or whatever, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and the Poetry World chat book is 20 to 30. This is 35, 36. But yeah, my next book will have, like, you know, 40, 50, 60 plus.
And you're working on that as well. And it's going to be another poetry book, right?
It is, and I'm going to be touching more base on some darker issues, and it's going to be a little bit more Shakespearean, and it's going to definitely have the readers thinking whether or not these stories are fiction or nonfiction, and I'm definitely going to have fun with that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Keep the readers up, because it's going to get crazy.
It's a cool aspect too. Yeah, make it your own, right? Like interpret it the way that you want to interpret it, right? But so maybe I lost this, but you started with the memoirs, and it kind of translated into this book? Are the memoirs kind of translating into the film, or is it all blending together?
Oh yeah, it's all blending together. That's a great, great observation, Drake. Yeah, so writing is hard. And when I sent in my memoir, there was so much work I had to do in regards to writing, because writing is a different art form. You know, you can't just tell a story. You have to paint the picture, and you know, you got to show the reader what they're seeing. You know, there's so much tactics to it. So I had an editor really give me some good advice, and then now that I've written this poetry book and got really good advice from mentors, I'm able now to collaborate it all and turn it into a proper autobiography / memoir, or I can turn it into a proper script. And it's going to take years. It's going to take a lot of hard work. And it all came together, and it's all going to be one big, beautiful art that I'm going to share with the world.
That's the thing that, you know, and I'm no expert, but probably a lot of people don't realize, is that when you say, you know, it's going to be a big thing of art, that can be so many different things in this ball, right? You know, the book, the film, another book, whatever else it might be, right? Like you're gonna have a whole line of stuff by the time you're potentially done with this, right?
Yeah, it's good to grind, and yeah, that's what I live for. I live for the grind, and as Floyd Mayweather would say, it's hard work is easy work, because that's all I know. All I know is hard work, so I don't really know what. It's easy work for me, because that's all I know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, man. You don't need to make it easy on yourself, really, too, right? You gotta live life. Like, even if it's tough, you gotta do it.
No doubt.
So is there anything else on your mind, or
what do we got? Yeah, if you're a young boy listening to this, a young girl listening to this, in regards to the mental health, things are gonna happen in your life. And it's up to you to make a choice, okay? And you can either choose a negative choice or a positive choice. And what I would say is always take the positive choice. Make a decision, make a choice to do something great in life for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones. You have a choice, and don't let anybody ever say you don't. Make a choice, go with it, never ever give up, and don't let anybody say you can't do it. That's all I got.
Simple put. Yeah, no, that's great, man. I just want to make sure you weren't, you know, missing anything, jumping over anything, because although we didn't have like a big list or agenda of things to do or talk about better yet, there's always stuff that we might miss or forget or not realize, right? But you talked about the grind a lot. You talked about your goals and like what's going to be coming in the future. But as much as you'd like to share, again, kind of alluding to what we talked about before, what's a normal day like for Josh right now? I know you're still grinding in the boxing world. You're still grinding with your art and stuff like that, which probably could be pretty long days at times and tough, right? But I don't know. What's a normal day like for you?
I'm usually up pretty early, 6 a.m., 6:30. I try and do either meditation or I go for a run. This is all, again, for my health, right? And because I'm not a fighter anymore. And every time I used to get up, it would be to train for a fight. But now it's me to train for myself and my eternal. So, yeah, I get up usually 6:30, either work out, do meditation, do some stretches, eat, read, go to the coffee shop. You know the coffee shop.
Yeah, I know.
And read a book, and then go from there. Start writing or grinding at least 2-3 hours. Train a couple clients, do a couple meetings, come back, read and write again, back at it the next day.
Yeah.
And then, of course, well, get out with friends, have a couple beers, and go from there.
Yeah. You got to balance life too, right? You can't just focus on one chicken thing, right? Yeah, man. I mean, you're in it full swing right now, I could tell. I mean, that's pretty much the life of an artist. Right there is what you described, as far as I know. And, you know, that maybe even be not a good thing to say, because the life of an artist could be anything. It could be whatever you make it, right? So
it's true. Don't expect to be rich.
Yeah.
It's artist life, don't expect to be rich. But sometimes that's better. You get some amazing experiences and some amazing culture from not being rich. So, yin and yang.
But it's very true, man. And I mean, shit, we've talked a lot of, like, things, you know, in this conversation, but a lot of them are true, and a lot of people can, again, interpret it for what they want through this conversation, but...
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, your podcast is an art itself. It's two people expressing themselves, and people are listening, and then they're going to take it in and express themselves through what they're listening to.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Well, it's all an art form. Hockey, baseball, football, it's all an art, man.
Yeah.
Don't throw any other under the bus. You know, we're all equal, and, you know, it's okay to be sensitive. It's okay to be aggressive. It's okay to be masculine. It's okay to be feminine. It's all good, man.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, man.
We all have a mind.
Yeah, it's not always what everything that meets the eye, right? There's always more than what you know or what you see behind the painting, behind the whatever it might be, you know.
Yeah, one more thing.
Sure.
I said this on the podcast before. This is when I was younger, in my 20s, I was trying so hard to be masculine because I knew deep down I was sensitive. I was trying so hard to be masculine that I actually became more feminine, and now that I am in touch with my sensitive and my feminine side, I'm more masculine than ever. I'm way more sure of myself now. And so I really recommend, you know, people to embrace their masculinity, embrace their femininity, whether you're a woman or a man, embrace them both, because we have them both. Once you understand them both, you can become who you truly are and understand yourself.
Like you said, we're all just people. We're all equally human.
And all equally human, yeah.
Fuck yeah, bro. Well, again, thanks, man. If there's anything else you want to do now or talk about now, if not, we can always do another one. But, man, good friend of the show, friend of mine. We'll always be in touch and supporting you through Wind City Sports. No matter what, no matter how long this goes on, there'll always be some sort of presence in Wind City Sports. So Josh Cameron will be tied to it as well.
Likewise, Drake. You're the man, brother.
You too, thanks. Bro.
All right. There we have it. Josh Cameron again on Wind City Sports. What a great interview again with him. Always great shooting the shit with that guy. And keeping in touch. And, of course, always do good stuff together. So looking forward to see what he's got coming up in the future. Even probably more stuff that wasn't on there that I talked about with him. Very exciting. But I am excited to see his movie, what he does with his next book, and anything else he might come up with. Pretty cool. Some stuff that was cut from there, too, is, you know, he's got connections in the acting world, I suppose, and another local guy, Rob Rocco, he grew up with him. They're basically cousins, actually, and just getting some gigs in between them two in the acting world is pretty cool. You know, just a guy that was a boxer using training, and of course training a lot of actors out there, we talked about in the first one. So pretty cool stuff again from another kid from Windsor, from the west side of Windsor. Now in West Vancouver, beautiful area, nice spot for him too, man. Like Vancouver's so big, different areas, and not like I know much. I was only there for a day or two, but I guess the west side or the west end or whatever is the best. Well, not the best, but one of the nicest areas of Vancouver. Not like West Vancouver, but the west side of Vancouver, whatever. But kid, yeah, from the west end of Windsor to the west end of Vancouver, very cool stuff. And forgive me if I am wrong on the geography there, but it's great to talk to him again, spend some time with him, and get him back on the show. Great conversation. Thanks again to Josh. We'll be keeping in touch with him and obviously promoting his stuff online when he's got new stuff coming out. We did talk a little bit about the Spitfires coming back, their schedule and whatnot, but there's a lot more to talk about as well. CHL draft, import draft, and priority selection draft took place during our hiatus. A lot of picks for the Spits recently, even signing one in Chris O'Flaherty, a 6-foot winger from Chicago drafted this year. Then we had some Spitfires drafted to the NHL, Pasquale Zito, Daniel Sobolev, and Wyatt Johnson, all from the Spits drafted to the NHL last week. Zito to Detroit, just across the border. Sobolev to the Canadiens, along with Coach Letowski, as we talked about earlier. And Wyatt Johnson to the Dallas Stars. And we had another local drafted in Logan Mayhew, London Knights standout defenseman. Not without controversy, though. Pure Wind City boy. I didn't know much about that. You can look it up. I just heard it on Spit and Chicklets. After he got drafted, I seen he got drafted. So, oh, good for him. But it was quite the story there. And, of course, we talked about some possibly new coaches coming in. But finally, over the hiatus, the Spits lost their former video coach, and Sean DeMunchuk lost his life fighting a fire in Pennsylvania. He was from Pennsylvania, I believe. He would come down here, work for the Spitfires and stuff like that, and obviously live the firefighter life outside of the hockey world. passed away saving lives. Very sad to hear, and condolences to his family, the Spitfires family, and everyone involved. But of course, as mentioned, the at the beginning of the show, the Olympics are going on. We had Kylie Moss win a silver medal for Windsor and for Canada last week. Oh, there go my notes. Let's pick it back up. So I can tell you about all of the Wind City athletes we have in Tokyo returning to the Games this year. Our track and field athletes, Noelle Montcalm and Brandon McBride, former guests of Wind City Sports 2. Also returning is co-captain of Team Canada for track and field, Melissa Bishop. I think I have her name in here twice. Swimmer Melissa Bishop. And another one of our guests as well, Coach Kurt Michael Downs, joins them from the sidelines. Jordy Steen is another former guest of ours who is a first-time Olympian for wrestling, but not the first in his family. As you may know, both his parents are Olympians or were Olympians. Father Dave Steen won a decathlon bronze at Seoul 1988, and his mother, Andrea Steen, competed in the 400-meter hurdles at LA, Los Angeles, 1984. Also joining Team Canada from Windsor is Sarah Mutton in shot put and Dana Podhorsky in the women's marathon. I've been watching a little bit. Some of them are, like, you get to see some cool sports that you don't see too often on, you know, on TV. Some of the coolest ones. And I just pop it on just once in a while. I try to follow some specific events, but usually just whatever's on. And the women's rugby is one of the craziest ones I've seen so far, and men's beach volleyball, very exciting, very close games. Cool stuff. I like watching those. But hey, we got some time. Let's talk about some other sports that are going to be returning, like all sports, all Lancer sports are back. Fratmen are back. I believe I was trying to find their schedule, but I couldn't find it. All sports are back with full schedules released for the Lancers, though, and for St. Clair, I believe, as well. A lot of baseball going on right now, too, in Windsor. But our first sport back is football, but they'll be starting on the road. Our first home game is men's soccer, welcoming the Guelph Griffins on Wednesday, September 22nd. So sports are back for Lancers, for the Fratmen, for the St. Clair College teams. So let's go, baby. 2021, it's over. Some other sports news we'll talk about is former Sarnia Sting and guest of the show, but Windsor's own Anthony Salanitri. He's off to Italy to play for Asiago HC Hockey Club. Most recently played for the Lancers in 2019-20. Thought he was anticipating to come back, quoted talking about it a little bit, but signed his first pro contract and is off to that. Maybe didn't want to do the school thing anymore. It's fine, man. Live a life in Italy. Another Italian guy, he'll love it. Perry Wilson, Windsor Spitfires goaltending coach. He's been named to the Under-22 Hockey Canada Women's Development Team as their goaltending coach. He has a long resume in women's hockey and in goalie coaching in general. Had him on the show last year as well at the beginning of the year before the pandemic. And have happy to have been keeping in touch since. Another accomplishment, another thing to add to this guy's resume, as I've heard from some of the hockey coaches around here. Canada's best kept secret in goalie coaching, one of the best in the country, Perry Wilson. Not necessarily from here, I believe he's from out east, but he's been living here for a while, and he's part of Windsor Pride, man. Windsor Lancers, Windsor Spitfires for many years, involved in hockey, great guy. And finally, another recent guest of ours, Paul McFarland, came on the show to talk about returning to the Kingston Frontenacs in the OHL, but that wasn't even a reality as he lands another assistant coaching gig in the NHL with the new Seattle Kraken, previously coaching for the Florida Panthers, Toronto Maple Leafs, did do Kingston before and then decided to come back. Pandemic hit, they never had a single game. Now he gets hired as the expansion team's assistant coach under Ron Francis, of course, GM. But hey, man, it's been a couple months. I haven't been able to talk to you guys. I'm glad to be back. Glad to do this stuff. It might not be happening as often after 5 years of going strong, almost 4 years, 4.5 years every single week. I think 4 years every single week, then went down to bi-weekly for another year. And here we are, man. It's been a long run, and it ain't over yet. It ain't goodbye. It's always going to be a smell you later kind of thing until we finally hang them up. And hey, like, One City Sports will always be around. It will always be archived. I don't think this will be our last one. I'll never just randomly end it. We got to do one good one with someone good to end it off. but they'll always be available. It's always going to be a piece of history with these interviews with people from Windsor talking about the history, talking about their experiences. That's why we love to have Josh back on, and I love to do the stuff for the city. So that is all this week, this episode on Wind City Sports. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here. We'll see what happens in the future, but I'm your host for Wind City Sports, available on windcitysports.com, anywhere you get your podcast, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media at windcity_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We also have a YouTube channel, so give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever you might use or like to do. And you can follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram, at Drake DeMore. But until next time, smell you later.